Chapter 6. Is your brother an agreeable man, Peggotty? I inquired, provisionally. Oh, what an agreeable man he is! Cried Peggotty, holding up her hands. Then there's the sea, and the boats and ships, and the fishermen, and the beach, and to play with. Peggotty meant her nephew Ham, mentioned in my first chapter, but she spoke of him as a morsel of English grammar. I was flushed by her summary of delights, and replied that it would indeed be a treat, but what would my mother say? Why then I'll as good as bet a guinea, said Peggotty, intent upon my face, that she'll let us go. I'll ask her, if you like, as soon as ever she comes home. There now. But what's she to do while we're away? Said I, putting my small elbows on the table to argue the point. She can't live by herself. If Peggotty were looking for a hole, all of a sudden, in the heel of that stocking, it must have been a very little one indeed, and not worth darning. I say, Peggotty. She can't live by herself, you know. Oh, bless you. Said Peggotty, looking at me again at last. Don't you know? She's going to stay for a fortnight with Mrs. Draper. Mrs. Draper's going to have a lot of company. If that was it, I was quite ready to go. I waited, in the utmost impatience, until my mother came home from Mrs. Draper's, for it was that identical neighbor, to ascertain if we could get leave to carry out this great idea. Without being nearly so much surprised as I had expected, my mother entered into it readily. And it was all arranged that night, and my board and lodging during the visit were to be paid for. The day soon came for our going. It was such an early day that it came soon, even to me, who was in a fever of expectation, and half afraid that an earthquake or a fiery mountain, or some other great convulsion of nature, might interpose to stop the expedition. We were to go in a carrier's cart, which departed in the morning after breakfast. I would have given any money to have been allowed to wrap myself up overnight and sleep in my hat and boots. It touches me nearly now, although I tell it lightly, to recollect how eager I was to leave my happy home, to think how little I suspected what I did leave forever. I am glad to recollect that, when the carrier's cart was at the gate, and my mother stood there kissing me, a grateful fondness for her, and for the old place I had never turned my back upon before, made me cry. I am glad to know that my mother cried too, and that I felt her heart beat against mine. I am glad to recollect that, when the carrier began to move, my mother ran out at the gate, and called to him to stop, that she might kiss me once more. I am glad to dwell upon the earnestness and love with which she lifted up her face to mine, and did so. As we left her standing in the road, Mr. Murdstone came up to where she was, and seemed to expostulate with her for being so moved. I was looking back round the awning of the cart, and wondered what business it was of his. Peggotty, who was also looking back on the other side, seemed anything but satisfied, as the face she brought back in the cart denoted. I sat looking at Peggotty for some time, in a reverie on this supposititious case. Whether, if she were employed to lose me like the boy in the fairy tale, I should be able to track my way home again by the buttons she would shed. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.